Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Will Anomala Live. It is the day to announce our Woman of the Year award, and that goes to our very own Wilhelmina Witt. Wilhelmina, congratulations.
Yes, please, Wilhelmina, don't get it twisted.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Really happy to be here. Happy to win Woman of the Year on this momentous day.
I can't believe I just dead-named our Woman of the Year. What have I done?
You're a real transphobe and a bigot, but it's okay. You'll be, if you transition, we can...
I'm trying to do the work and educate myself.
Uh-huh. No, it's okay. Woman of the Year, you know, it's great. Snip, snip, and now I'm achieving all sorts of new heights that I never thought were possible, being a woman. You know, me and Rachel Levine were secretaries of health, and we know a lot about health being women.
Mm-hmm. You guys are smashing the women's records in swimming and all kinds. Leah Thomas.
And smashing the patriarchy at the same time.
That's a lot of smashing. Very efficient. Mm-hmm. It's also another big day for women. It is the Equal Pay Day. And our very own Amala Epinobi is going to explain a little bit about equal pay and the campaign to achieve that for women. Amala, take it away.
Hey, I'm Amala here. And Equal Pay Day is the worst because we don't get paid the same. We get paid 77 cents on every dollar. And we just have to, you know, if we take the 77 cents and the dollar and we find common ground with both of them, we're gonna make it all good.
Wow. What an inspirational message. Thank you very much, Amala. And live from LA, it's Will and Amala Live.
Thank you for joining. Yeah, you have to say that.
I thought we were getting some applause there, Hot Scott.
Well, listen, we have everyone. It's Scott's birthday today.
It is.
I have to tell
everyone.
Happy
birthday, Hot Scott.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much.
No, we're here for you. So we're really glad that you're turning 47. We're excited to have you on the show and be here with us. Guys, we got a very special show for you today. As you can tell, even on pay gap day, Amala is not here.
Because she's on strike.
She's on strike because she's only getting paid 77 cents for every dollar. So it's Taylor and I today and Hot Scott doing this today. So, but I want to get in on our first story and talk to you guys about something that I haven't felt is as of the utmost importance for a lot of the stories that we've talked about on the show in a while. And so we're going to let this video speak for itself. And I want everyone to watch this. And, you know, the people who are in this video are the people who are on The View. If you know anything about The View, you know that they have incredibly low IQs and don't know much about any of the things they're talking about. But there are a lot of people who watch The View. It's a daytime television show that gets millions of people watching. So please watch this clip and we're going to talk about it.
All and look, I think that's an incredibly relevant question. Yeah. And I think DOJ, in the same way that it is setting up a task force to investigate oligarchs, should look into people who are Russian propagandists and shilling for Putin. That's being, if you are a foreign asset to a dictator, it should be investigated. In fact, I remember when Tulsi Gabbard, and I even hate that we're discussing it because I think to myself, who is this woman? She's a, you know, she's no longer in Congress. She's a failed president. Candidate. Yeah. She only practically exists on Twitter, and the fact that we're giving her oxygen is what makes her relevant, that we're talking about her on Hot Topics. But on the other hand, how do you not call out something that is repeating false Russian propaganda and that has been brought down?
They used to arrest people for doing stuff like this. If they thought you were colluding with a Russian agent, if they thought you were putting out information or taking information and handing over to Russia, they used to actually investigate stuff like this. And I guess now, you know, there seems to be no bars. And people are not being told to hate Putin. Putin doesn't need a reason to be hated. It's pretty much clear.
He started a war.
He started an unnecessary
war that
nobody wanted.
Isn't this contributing to the death?
Who knew Whoopi Goldberg was the new McCarthy, saying that we used to arrest people who were shills for communist propaganda, who were shills for Russia and the things that they were doing. She doesn't give any examples. You know, she says, we used to arrest people for doing things like this, but she doesn't say who, and she doesn't say who they are. But this is the new radical left. This is the new radical left wing. If you disagree with them, then they want to jail you. You understand? Someone like Tulsi Gabbard, who all she has been doing is saying what the truth is. She's been very truthful. It's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. She's just been saying what the truth is. Tucker Carlson on his show, you guys should be watching it every single day for the best take on everything happening in Ukraine and Russia. He has absolutely been on point with the truth, going against what many people on the right have been parroting right now. If your political opponents come and say that they want to jail you for your opinions, you shouldn't laugh these people off. You should take them very, very seriously, and you should take what they are saying at face value. I want to pull up some tweets here from some other very large names, and Taylor has the laptop. So, Taylor, can you read the first of these tweets about what these people are saying?
Sure. This one is from Alexandra Chalupa in a reply about Tucker Carlson. Says, Tucker Carlson needs to be tried at The Hague as a disinformation agent in Putin's war. Carlson is a war criminal aiding and abetting a hostile enemy of the U.S. while thousands of American veterans are risking their lives helping Ukraine defend the free world from Putin.
Ukraine defending the free world. That's, I mean, come on. These people do no modicum of research. We also got the Keith Olbermann tweet, which is in reply to that video on The View. Keith Olbermann, if you don't know, I mean, he has a million followers on Twitter. These aren't just people who are small name people who are saying these things. There's no reason for us to give airtime to that type of nonsense on the show. These are large political people who are saying very large things about large groups of people. Let's read the Keith Olbermann tweet.
Sure. Keith Olbermann says, they are Russian assets and there is a war. There's a case for detaining them militarily. Trials are a sign of good faith and patience on the part of democracy.
So now, if you are someone who is a dissident to what is happening right now in Ukraine, you should be jailed. And they say, oh, well, maybe we'll give them a trial. That's good faith that we'll give them a trial. But otherwise, you know, these people wouldn't even want you to have a trial. These people just want to jail you immediately. And so people laugh this stuff off. I mean, I see conservatives laughing this stuff off and saying, you know, it's just these crazy leftists coming and saying these things. But if these people had their way, they would put you in prison for the things that you believe. Do you understand that? They say that we're preserving democracy in Ukraine. We're preserving democracy in America. What kind of a democracy thrives on putting people in jail or silencing the First Amendment rights of people who have a disagreement with you? That's not a democracy. That is an authoritarian regime. But that is what the left wants. The left works on authoritarianism. They know no other way on how to get what they want. Whereas conservatism praises the individual and says the individual is going to prosper and you can take care of yourself, to then that will take care of the society. The leftist says, well, we have to take care of the collective and make sure that people with bad opinions are silenced because they are ruining things for the rest of us. When really it is the people who are in the minority who are usually the ones saying the things that are true. Tucker Carlson is the only one on Fox News saying what the truth is about this entire situation. You know, I like a lot of the shows on Fox. I think a lot of the stuff that goes on Fox is much different than the legacy mainstream media. But Tucker is really the only one who is pushing the ball forward when it comes to what is happening right now. And he is taking the full brunt of it. Tulsi Gabbard is. When I'm putting out my videos on Instagram and Twitter and talking about this too, I mean, I'm getting lots and lots of views. I mean, millions of views on these videos. Yet the amount of people who are messaging me, commenting me that they've lost all respect for me, that I'm a Putin shill and all these kind of, if I wanted to be a Putin shill or someone who is a shill for Putin, I wouldn't even know how. I mean, if you want, do you know how to donate to Russia or help the Russian oligarchy?
No, comrade, I have no idea how to do this.
That's what it feels like. Like, how would you even help Putin if you wanted to? I couldn't tell you how if someone said, oh, like, you're doing these things for Putin, do I call him or something? I don't know what I would do. It's just laughable because no one on this show, on Will and I'm Alive, no one on Tucker Carlson, not Tulsi Gabbard, none of these other people, Pedro Gonzalez or whoever, are coming out and saying, let's go Russia. No one's saying that. Who's saying let's go Russia? Who's saying they're pro-Putin? Do you know anyone who's saying that? I don't know someone who's saying that, except for maybe some crazy extremist people. But that's not a mainstream position by a major network on a talk show or on PragerU or anything like that. Who isn't feeling sympathy for the Ukrainians that are dying, the innocent civilians? I haven't heard anyone, except for maybe some extremist crazy people who say, yeah, Ukrainians die. No one is saying that. Tucker Carlson's not saying that. I'm not saying that. Tulsi Gabbard, Candace Owens, Matt Walsh, none of these people are saying that. These are things that people are making up to try and shame you for actually looking at the truth, for having a difference of opinion. What kind of a timeline, what kind of a country do we live in when they say, oh yeah, we're unified around an issue, but if you don't agree with our unifying message, then you should be in jail. That's not a democracy that can last. I mean, if you guys watch the State of the Union, some of you guys who might be not American, you might not have seen the State of the Union, but it's fine if you didn't watch the State of the Union. You probably thought it was the Ukrainian State of the Union. You have people who are Republicans and Democrats both coming together and saying this is all about Ukraine. All the tweets from Congress right now are all about Ukraine. Everyone, all they can talk about is a democracy in Ukraine. Do you see how expensive gas is? Do you see how expensive food is? How expensive energy is? how expensive getting a package delivered to you? I spent $18 on pine nuts at the grocery store the other day making pesto. $18 on a little package of pine nuts. And that's funny because it's like so stupid. But I shouldn't be spending $18 to make pesto getting pine nuts.
We need a total and complete shutdown.
We
do. Until we can figure out what's going on with the price of pine nuts.
Honestly, I don't know who's in charge of pine nuts, but whoever it is, you got a big problem on your hands.
I think Russia is actually a very large producer of pine nuts. Well,
I guess I am a Putin shell. I'm a pine nut shell.
They're pine nuts, man.
I know. Listen, I'm gonna buy out all the pine nuts at Whole Foods. I promise you. But you see that this is all these people talk about, and it's both sides in this unifying message. But if you don't agree with their unifying message, then you should be in jail. I mean, how crazy is that? And how do conservatives react to this when the left is coming and saying that we have to push for all these authoritarian things? You know, and this goes beyond the Ukraine situation. This goes into everything. When the left comes on and says, well, the nuclear family is terrible and we want to destroy the nuclear family, what do conservatives do? What do our conservative leaders do? They say, okay, I guess you can destroy it. When they say, the left says, we need abortion up to 9 months. We need all this abortion and it's great for women and women's choice and all this. What do conservatives say? They say, okay, we can have abortion. Maybe we'll change it a little bit and try and make it a little bit more difficult, but okay, you can have abortion. When it comes to COVID and the left says we need to shut everything down, everyone's got to wear masks and do vaccine mandates, conservative leaders say, okay, we're going to go along with you and do the exact same thing. There are very few leaders who are actually standing up for these things. The left says, oh, we want to come and transition your kids and have all this sexual talk with children and all this. And the conservatives say, oh, you know, oh, that's okay, but that's not okay. But we have to, when they're in middle school, then it's okay. You know, it's like you make all these concessions to the left, and those people on the left, they won't make the same concessions for us. But why does conservative leadership continue to do it? If you believe abortion is an evil moral wrong that should be outlawed, and you have a majority in the Senate, the House, and the executive branch of your state, why have you not outlawed abortion? That's a simple question. And it sounds like, well, you can't go that extreme. You know, if you're a conservative, you can't go that extreme. But it's like the left will go extreme. The left is saying they want to jail dissidents for having a difference of opinion on Ukraine. That's not extreme. The left is incredibly extreme. But for some reason, conservatives won't play hardball and actually push back on these things. And if the left says we want to lock them down and have mask and vaccine mandates, why are conservative leadership not coming out and saying, no, this is stupid and it's not backed by science and ending it? That's exactly what they should be doing. But they care more about what the left thinks about them than actually standing up for the truth. They care more about what the New York Times, or the Washington Post, or CNN, or Time Magazine will write about them than actually representing their constituents. That is evil, because you were put in place to do a certain type of job. You have a responsibility. I talked about this on the morning show with Jill, that, you know, we were talking about education and we were talking about children and how the left was pushing all this sexual, race, and disgusting nonsense onto children, which is truly evil. These teachers should be fired, and some of them promptly put in prison for the things that they believe. And yet conservatives will say, yeah, you know, the things they're teaching is wrong, but we just need this apolitical type of classroom and this we just need to get the leftism out. And, you know, but they never push that hard. And it's like, why are we not teaching kids the values that we want to teach them? It's like, if I believe that PragerU videos are changing people's lives, which they changed my life, they changed Amala's life, they've changed tons of people's lives, and they're good for people. And conservative values, Judeo-Christian values, are good for people and the best way to live your life, then why are conservatives not pushing to have that taught to kids? Instead of just saying, no, we're anti-left, why are we not pro-conservative? We should be pro-conservative and not just anti-left. Until we start actually pushing for the things that we want and saying it's fine to be on offense instead of defense all the time, we are going to continue losing. Is that disheartening to you? It's disheartening to me. Who represents me? Who is my conservative leader? I don't have anyone. I really don't have anyone that is my representative that I can say truly is someone who I think has my best interests at heart, who is pushing for me. And that's incredibly sad. Because that means we live in a state of decay, and that the country of America as we know it, and the West in general, is going to fall apart because we have no one who will actually stand up. And the people who do stand up are destroyed promptly. And they're destroyed promptly not just by the left, but by the conservatives who care about the left more than they care about the truth. And that's a really sad fact, that we are living in a society that is like that. And the best piece of advice that I can give you as a solution to getting out of this, because I am not some... you know, perfect conservative myself. I'm not perfect in any means on any of the things that I'm talking about. But what I can say that has been the most important thing to me is that you have to break away from the opinions of all of these other people. Jill and I talked about this after the show. If you guys didn't see that, you can go to the PragerU Facebook or YouTube and watch the live that I did with her earlier talking about some things with Chris Rufo. But if you are not willing to break away from the opinions of other people on no matter what it is, then you are going to be someone who is controlled by their opinions. You are going to say, okay, it's fine if they jail me for having difference of opinion. It's fine if they stomp all over me and take an inch every time or take a mile every time I give them an inch. It's fine if they destroy my family and my ability to live on a single income and the country that I grew up in and the values that made Western civilization and the art that we celebrate and the history that made us. It's fine if they destroy that. Because I care about what they think more about than what's actually good for me or what's good for my country or what is honoring God. And they disregard all of that. You have to be someone who says no to the opinions of other people, that cancel culture doesn't affect you, that you are uncancelable because the things that you believe in are so true that even when they do cancel you, it means nothing to you because you believe in it and you know it to be true. Until you reach that point with yourself, then conservatives will continue to lose because the left doesn't care what you think about them. The left says, oh, we want to transition kids and you don't like it. Too bad. I don't care. We're right. And screw you. And we're going to take over these schools and we're going to win. And we don't care about the conservatives. Whereas conservatives say, well, I don't want these leftists to think that, you know, I'm insensitive to what they believe in. Let's just find some common ground. It doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore. Looking at American history, looking at the history of the West, we seem to be in one of the worst cultural landmarks of our society ever. And to me, that is unforgivable at the hands of conservatives who won't stand up for truth and stand up for what they believe in. I know it's really difficult. I'm not trying to shame anyone here because I know how difficult it is. And this is recent even for me about not really caring about what all these people think. But you have to be this way. You have to be this way or truly everything we have will be lost. And I pray that the people who are getting into leadership and are our leaders will think the same thing that I do. And let's not go to jail for talking about Ukraine. That's the plan. I don't want to go to jail. I wouldn't make it in jail. I'm too pretty. I couldn't make it in jail.
You and Hot Scott would have a rough time in jail without attractive.
No, well, we'd be cellmates, so it'd be okay.
He'd have each other's backs.
Yeah, something like that. All right, what's next, Taylor?
We got Bill Maher talking about, from Ben Shapiro's Sunday special this past weekend, saying the left has changed, not him as a liberal.
Right. Let's play that.
All right.
But when you say woke, you know, it's become, and I make fun of it too, because it's become an eye roll. In many ways, if woke, I assume at a certain moment, and it wasn't that long ago before we didn't have the term. I only heard it, I don't know what, it was 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago at most when we heard the term woke and it was like alert to injustice. I'm like, okay, I'm down with that. I always have been. I hope people still understand that about me. But yes, it became sort of a byword for a lot of this goofy stuff. That's what I'm always railing against. That's why, like, they play me on Fox News now.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about that? Because you went from the guy who was...
I haven't changed at all. My politics hasn't changed. They've changed. People say to me sometimes, you know, have you changed? No. It's that 5 years ago, no one was talking about defunding the police. I never heard that phrase 5 years ago. That's not me changing. That's things changing. I'm reacting to it, as I've always been. Letting 3-year-olds decide what gender they are. This wasn't something 5 years ago. Free speech, you know, used to be a left-wing thing that we were proud and owned, and now that seems to be under attack. So again, I think I've stayed the same.
That's it.
What do you think?
I don't know. I know you don't like to give credit to people like him who are not conservatives, who say something that conservatives agree with. And it's an eye roll when conservatives are like, yay, someone who is on the other side who has a platform said something that we agree with. But, you know, I can say at least props for being consistent. I mean, he's kind of a more old school classical liberal type, and he's recognizing that the the left has left me behind. And, you know, you talk about how conservatives didn't hold the line and didn't fight hard enough for their values. But I would say argue that also that that's true. But liberals also did not. And liberals in the classical sense, liberals like Bill Maher, liberals like the Barry Weisses of the world, the people who had institutional power before the woke took everything over in the media, in Hollywood, in big tech, everywhere, before wokeism just exploded and took over absolutely everything, liberals were generally in control. And the wokes came in with this social justice messaging, and the liberals were just like, oh, okay, I mean, I guess we agree with you. We don't want to make any noise. And they didn't control this monster. And then the conservatives didn't either. And so now wokeism is ruling the power of the air today in America. And I think conservatives and liberals alike share the blame. And so I think, you know, and if Amala were here, speaking for her, I think there is something to the idea that conservatives and these old school liberals can agree to some extent on, like, hey, we need to defeat this monster. Then we can go back to our old arguments. And, like, you know, remember how it used to be about debating whether creationism should be taught in schools. And now it's like, should we have a closet in the classroom for kids to change into if their parents don't let them wear the gender clothes that they want to wear whenever they come. You know, like, the battles used to be much different. It's like, I'd much rather be fighting those old school battles than worrying about this woke monster. And I do think there's room to, like, you know, set the old school differences aside and defeat this woke nonsense before, so that we can get back to a place of relative normalcy. Because the right and left is all very relative to where you are. And right now it's so obvious that this leftism, radical leftism, has just pervaded our society, and it needs to be beaten down. And if Bill Maher wants to be an ally in that, more power to him.
Yeah, I agree. If he wants to be an ally in defeating the far left, that's incredible. And I think he should be. But I think it takes more than that. I think it takes more because, you know, it's great. Like, Bill Maher will say something, and conservatives, it'll be something that, you know, you've said, or I've said, or, you know, Tucker Carlson has said, someone has said on the show before about it being crazy, and that gets no media attention or anything like that because we say these things all the time. But then Bill Maher says it, and now conservatives are going absolutely crazy over the thing that he said. And to me, that just seems weird that conservatives are on such weak cultural ground that when Bill Maher says something that we agree with, we bend over backwards to be like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And Bill Maher, in my opinion, is not the best guy. I mean, if Bill Maher is changing and he says, I want to fight the left, and he can apologize to the people that he has slandered, then there's some potential there. But Bill Maher, I mean, Bill Maher on his show, he said some things and he got in a lot of trouble for it. He got into trouble in hot water. You know, he said some things that were not good. And Dennis Prager, Rush Limbaugh, came out to defend Bill Maher and said, you know, he has the right to say these things. I don't think that he should be fired. He shouldn't be canceled for all this. This was like back in 2011. This was like over 10 years ago that this happened, and said, I don't think that he should be fired. And then Bill Maher later, years later, on his show, came and trashed Dennis Prager on his show. And it's like, Dennis Prager before came and defended you for the things that you are now bespeaking against and saying are so terrible. So Bill Maher is someone that I just don't really trust as someone who's going to come and say what the truth is. And I think that a lot of the people who are like the classical liberal type of people now want to be conservatives, but the conservatism that they are representing is more like a neoconservative, or, you know, like a classical liberal type, which I still think that a lot of the classical liberal types is part of why we've lost culturally.
Yeah, I mean, you can slice this up a lot of ways, but to your point, Dennis Prager went on Bill Maher's show, what was it, like 2 or 3 years ago, and said, these radical leftists are saying that men can menstruate. They're spreading these lies. And what did Bill Maher and his panel do? They laughed at him and mocked him and were like, are you insane? Like, were no one saying this? And look where we are now. I just saw yesterday, Apple introduced new emojis, and it's pregnant men of every color that you can think of. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Dennis Prager was right. Yeah. And, you know, I think there is something to the idea that the classical liberals should be who winked at the woke stuff for over the last several years should be eating crow right now. And they should be. That's like, it's still on the theme of Bill Maher when Barry Weiss was on his show recently talking about how she's done with COVID and these lockdowns are all crazy. And again, conservatives came out. We're like, yay, see? And you criticized that. But It's the same thing at work. It's like, well, you know, Barry, it's good that you're saying the right thing, but it's also like, where have you been the last 2 years when we were all screaming about how nonsensical these were and how they aren't rooted in science and how the evidence doesn't support them and they're going to inflict all these negative outcomes? Where have you been all this time? Mm-hmm. And so I get the idea of like, it's too little too late. But I guess I'm more amenable to, you know what, like, we're always going to disagree with liberals on some things, but there, this whole thing with the woke stuff and the radical far left, you're right in pointing out that they are at war with us, so we should be at war with them. Mm-hmm. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend in that regard, as when it comes to someone like Bill Maher.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah, a lot of these people did wait until it was safe to say something, when they knew that they could get away with now saying something. Then they came out and said, okay, now I can, you know, come on and say the safe thing. But, you know, it's like, look at how Western media, how The Guardian and The New York Times and Time Magazine, look at how they all talked about Ukraine before this Ukraine crisis. I don't know if you guys have seen any of these old articles that have come up. They're basically like, Ukraine is this dictatorship. What is the most corrupt country in Europe doing? Vladimir Zelensky is this corrupt president and, you know, jailing his dissidents. And these are left-wing publications coming out and criticizing Ukraine and Zelensky for all the things that they've done. And then in a matter of like that, now Ukraine is a free and open democracy and Zelensky is the most badass dude on the planet. Yep. And it's like, now all the people who are listening to this liberal, some of them liberal, classical liberal media are getting, you know, they're just going along with whatever it says. But it's like someone like me or Tucker or Tulsi or someone like that, I think, or Candace, I think that we are going to be vindicated, just like it was with the COVID stuff. And mm-hmm. It's like,
and Dennis.
And Dennis. And Dennis too. You know, we are going to be vindicated in the sense that, you know, you can have this position and be this type of person when it's safe to say so, but when you're not that person when it starts at the beginning, looking objectively at what is actually happening, then it's hard for me to really be like, oh yeah, thank God.
And I think that's one of the fundamental differences about conservatives is we're very values based, and you know, I mean, a true conservative who has integrity is operating from a foundation of values that don't change with the political winds. And I think what we're seeing is, like you're saying, with the Barry Weiss example or whomever, it's a little bit more unmoored, and they see they only want to push back whenever it's like, oh no, the suicide rates among trans youth are skyrocketing and the outcomes are very bad. So I guess we need to, or oh no, we've locked down so long that so many people have lost jobs and gone to drug addiction and things like that, and the economy's in shambles. I guess we should push back now. But it's almost like too little too late. If you would have just stuck with the conservative values and ideas that made us prosperous and successful and happy and free in the first place, then we wouldn't have had to go through all this mess and go and then end up looking and experiencing the bad outcomes. It's the same. It's like a kid who, like, you know, doesn't take wisdom's word for it, and your mom tells you your whole life, you know, be responsible and get educated.
Say thank you.
Yeah, say thank you, have good manners, and they're like, yeah, whatever, and go off to college and go crazy, and then you have to experience the prodigal son moment where you're eating slop from, you know, the pig's trough, and then you're like, okay, I guess all that was a bad idea. And it's like conservatism's always in the position of, like, if you're going to follow it, it's like taking wisdom's word for it from the first place, to where you don't have to suffer the consequences of doing dumb things. Mm-hmm. And this leftism is always wanting to, like, branch out. Well, do we really need those rules? Do we really? It's like that old adage, like the conservative asks, you know, why the fence was there, and the leftist just wants to tear it down in the first mm-hmm. place. It's like, you know, the left is always wanting to, like, explore, push the bounds of things, and then try to pick up the pieces after the fact, and get back to normalcy. Not the far left. The far left doesn't care about the bad outcomes. They're just like, we're trying to usher in our revolution. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to keep pushing harder and harder, and the worse things get, we're just going to suppress those stories and silence the people who call them out. But the liberals are like, well, I guess this was bad, so maybe we should rethink this. And the conservatives are like, I've been telling all y'all this whole time.
I know. Oh, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
But now left to say, let's send our sons to go nuke that fence. So that's,
yeah, and
that's
you're,
the
and
new
you,
left.
To go defend our values.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
no, this
what
fence,
values?
This fence defends our values. Okay?
Yeah.
I cracked my voice. You guys hear that. Yeah, that's really where we are. Fence defends our values, and we have to go die for this fence. That's sad. That's sad. All right, let's go to the Washington.
There's another fence at the southern border that defends our value, the integrity of our country.
I'm sure in 2 years, Bill Maher will be like, oh, we need a border wall. We need a border wall. Weiss is going to be like, oh, we need a border wall.
Right.
Playing devil's advocate, like, wouldn't you say there are some on the classical liberal left that are actually having a genuine evolution in their thinking, and that stuff isn't just a hard 90-degree turn or 180-degree turn.
Yeah.
It's a slow, gradual realization. So, like, you do kind of have to give some rope to the conversion of people. But I totally understand what you're saying. Like, I feel like a lot of these people who are on the media all the time and now saying these conservative sort of thinking values, you know, it seems like about face. But right. I feel for the majority of the population, I feel like you have to give some sort of leeway and not just condemn every single person who does flip on an idea or a thought, because it could be step.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're exactly right. But that's the point, is that people who flip their ideas and have differences of opinion and actually are genuine about it is much different than someone coming and saying, well, now I know what the cool thing is to say, and this is the new thing to say, and I want to be cool, so I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
You know? So someone who was a leftist and then becomes a classical liberal and might still need some work, it's way better to me than someone who's, you know, a leftist and then claims to be a Republican and then now is lying about everything they believe in, right? I'd rather have someone who's genuine and not 100% with me and can understand me at least than someone who switches but just lies about it. So I mean, you're exactly right, you have to be patient with some people for sure. But like, for me, I mean, even just the first like 2 years that I worked here at PragerU, I would consider myself in some ways a neocon with a lot of the stuff that I believe. There's no doubt about it. And then COVID came and it slapped me in the face and said, wow, there's like things going on here that is way different than the arguments you're having. Like, I tweeted about this the other day, like, we still are talking about like capitalism versus socialism in some debates, and it's BlackRock, the investment firm, owns 10% of the world's economy, you know, and we're talking about like we're supposed to be talking about things that don't even matter when it comes to the upper echelons of the Great Reset and things that are actually happening. You know, there's like, we have to just dig deeper on these things. And so people who don't know everything, it's granted that you're going to be like that. But that's the point of the show, and the point of PragerU is to be the people who can educate and, you know, try and get people over to that side, at least have an open mind, you know. But it's all about being genuine. It's all about seeking truth instead of someone who is masking themselves to get affirmations from other people.
I think that's a great point, is like, what good is understanding that, okay, capitalism is better than socialism, and that's all you're focused on is like talking about that, when the Great Reset is happening before your eyes and they're going to feed you bugs and give you a pod and you have communism.
Right.
It's like, if you can't apply the values and the truths that you believe in, if you're not engaged in the fight of, hey, here's the truth, but I have to fight. It's like Jordan Peterson talks about the idea of rescuing your father from the underworld. And that's this metaphorical, you know, idea of like going down and fighting the good fight, of taking those values and the wisdom of the past or the just objective truth and reconciling that to reality right now. And I feel like, to your point, a lot of conservatives have had our head in the sand of like just focusing on, well, you know, we're just debating these old ideas in some theoretical sense, or just saying, well, you know, this is better than that, but they're not engaged in the fight and on the front lines and really in their own lives and in their communities and in the political sphere, trying to bring the value of those objective truths and of that wisdom of conservative principles and injecting them into the front lines. They're not doing a good enough job of bringing that to the forefront of the battle. And so it's like, cool, you're right, but you lost the culture. Cool, you're right, but you've completely lost the country and everything's upside down. So good job on like, and I see the same thing in the church, like with that the church has gotten more and more irrelevant because we've just, I mean, I say we as a Christian, and this is kind of in my background, but you know, it's like this navel gazing, and we're safe because we have the right beliefs and the right culture, and you know, the culture's sinking around us, but we're just going to huddle together until Jesus comes back and you know, sip our Chick-fil-A and, you know, hope that nothing bad happens and Tim Tebow will be our hero and watch Duck Dynasty and everything's going to be okay. And it's like, that's how you lose, you know? And I feel like conservatives have been doing the same thing. And, I'm glad that there are voices that are waking people up and wanting to ignite a movement to fight back. But the way that you fight back, it's like you can't lose ourselves in the process too. And it's like we gotta pull those principles out and do the hard work of like articulating things. And like Alan says, it's a tougher task to defend reality. It's a tougher task to articulate why, you know, these old ancient ideas of wisdom and truth that come all the way from the Bible, like we talked about this morning, and just Judeo-Christian values, why those are a better thing to stake all of society and your life and your family on than whatever new fad of the day or this postmodernist stuff or anything like that.
Right. Teach your kids what is good and teach them what is evil and tell them that they should live the way of the good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
really simple at the end of the day.
It's really simple, but still, even people are so scared to just even do that because they think people are going to judge them for indoctrinating them with Christian values or indoctrinating them with conservative values. Like, no, that's true. That's you know, yeah, that's what you need to do. Don't indoctrinate them. Show them the other side and show them this communism, mm-hmm. this Marxism, leftism, this evil, but show them the truth and say, this is what I want you to believe. You're my kid. I'm responsible for teaching you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. But it's like exactly like you said, like with the church. I mean, I was reading Live Action the other day. It was like 62% of women who get abortions claim to have a religious affiliation. And it's like, if these women have religious affiliations, means maybe they're going to church, and it's the pastor should be going and saying things about this. The pastor should be talking about abortion on the pulpit and saying, this is a moral wrong. This is evil. Mm-hmm. God says, you know, you're born in God's image. All of these different types of things, and should be talking about
it. It's appealing to that fundamental idea that right. humans are made in the image of God.
Right. And so until the pastors and the people in the churches will actually speak up for these types of real biblical truths, and it won't change, and those kind of things will continue to fester. Mm-hmm. I want to bring up, that was a good discussion, Taylor.
Yeah.
I want to bring up this old video. Can we bring up this old video?
Oh, yeah, let me find it here.
Okay. So, Ava, I hope you're watching, and my mom, too. I hope you're watching, too. But this was the first video that I ever did. And so we're playing this video because today is pay gap day and the pay
equal
gap
pay day.
Equal pay day. Okay. It was pro pay gap day. Mm-hmm. We're happy about it. Women should be happy about it. If they really got paid less, they should be happy.
Find a man who makes more than you and it'll be fine. Okay. It's boys' day. Sorry. Yeah, people are asking where day. Amala is, by the way.
Oh.
She had an illness today. It's not feeling well, but she should be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
yeah. She'll be back tomorrow.
The boys are back in town.
Yeah, the boys are back in town.
Scott's birthday.
Scott's birthday. Oh, you know we're celebrating. We're celebrating by kicking Amala off the show today.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I want to show this video because Equal Pay Day, and this first video I ever made, this is when I was still in college, and I sent it to PragerU when I was still in college, trying to you know, get in touch with PragerU, get a job, and it's a man on the street of me asking women what they thought about the gender pay gap. So, all right, let's watch this embarrassing, cringe-worthy math mess.
The government sucks!
Hi, everyone. My name's William Witt. I'm with Turning Point
William
USA
Witt.
And Prager Force, and today we're going to be talking to people about the wage gap and why it's a myth.
I've never seen it.
Let's do it.
I've never seen this?
No.
What do you think of the wage gap?
Hi.
I wanted to ask you what you thought of the wage gap.
Where's your mic?
I didn't have a mic.
So what do you think about the wage gap? Do you think it's real? We were talking about the wage gap. Do you think the wage gap is real? What do you think of the wage gap?
Does anyone ever answer? Or
yeah, no, they do. They do.
So we're talking about the wage gap. Do you
I
think
edited
the wage
this
gap
all
is real
myself.
Then? Yes. Why do you think that?
Because I know that women get paid less than I think it's real and effective. Or not
it's
effective.
Real?
It's
effective. Wage gap
is ineffective.
Do I think it's real?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty stupid. I don't know.
You think it's stupid? Do you think it's real?
I haven't put much research into it, but yeah, I think it.
So you haven't put much research into it, but you think it's real?
Yeah.
So where's the proof that the wage gap is real?
That's kind of rude.
She doesn't know. Okay,
trying to trap her.
That's something on NPR that flexibility actually you can make the wage gap disappear by doing some sort of statistical analysis and controlling for certain demographic variables. So.
So if a business could hire women for 77 cents for every dollar that a man makes, why would the business not just hire all women if they could turn that much of a profit?
Dennis Prager argument.
Businesses could hire women for 77 cents for every dollar that a man would make. Why would businesses not just hire all women? They would turn such a huge profit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why would they not do that if there's a wage gap? You don't know?
Tell me.
Yeah. See?
You
think it's real?
Yeah, I
Okay, so you just said I don't know, but then you think the wage gap's real. Why do you think the wage gap's real?
Aggressive, dude.
No, I was so much more aggressive.
Where?
This poor girl.
So if businesses could hire women for 77 cents for every dollar that a man makes, why would a business not hire all women?
Really good question. Probably because it goes back to the whole like sexism in the world. And, like,
she's got the Ellie Goulding.
Okay, so if a business could hire women for 77 cents for every dollar that a man would make, why would businesses not just hire all women?
I don't know.
We're talking about the wage gap today. What do you think about the wage gap?
God, it's great. Sorry.
That wage gap will get you. Burns your eyes. Have you ever thought that women choose different majors than men, and then when they get out of school? Because they choose the majors, you know, on their own free will, and those majors make less money than men?
It's possible, yeah.
Can you give me an example that, you know, might not be yourself?
Gosh, dude.
I know.
These poor girls.
Savage.
So you know the women are graduating more from college than men. They're getting better jobs. Yeah, they are. They're getting better grades as well. They're 2-to-1 favored in STEM fields over men. So it doesn't seem like women are doing too bad. So do you think that women actually, when they go into the STEM field and they're looking for jobs, they're 2-to-1 favorite for those jobs over men?
But I don't think that they're encouraged initially to go out. Like, I think, actually,
do you think it might be that the woman's choice is choosing to go into a different major, a different career path?
That's one way to look at it.
Why do you think that?
I've been in a position where I've been paid significantly less than my male counterparts.
Do you think that maybe it's because you didn't do as good work?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not?
Oh, my God. Never. Dude, that's so savage.
I know.
I got paid less than my male coworker. Oh, well, is it because you didn't get any good, you didn't work as good?
I know. Like, I used to, my old videos, man, I was like on fire in some of those videos. I'm too nice when I go and talk to people,
I guess,
you know.
Well, it's like these poor girls have like never thought about this before, and they're like, so why isn't it like this, huh? So I'm right and you're wrong, huh? And they're just like, I don't know, I guess
that was the first time I've ever done it before.
I know,
and I didn't really know what to do. That was, you know,
yeah,
no, Prager, you liked it enough, they hired me.
It was a great idea. Yeah, it was genuinely a good idea.
Prager, you liked it, so they hired me after. I sent them that video and they posted it. Yeah, still the same. I found it online, and it's still the same song. So we still use the same song in all the videos. That's been the same forever. I taught myself how to edit the videos, got my buddy to shoot it on his GoPro, and made that little vid.
It's awesome. There's a lot of people who do the man on the street thing now. I feel like you were... I don't know if you were the first person ever to like ask people things on the street. I mean, like they do that on like some of the late shows and stuff, but like in this context, for the reason that you did it, I think you really pioneered something there, and obviously it worked. And I mean, I know PragerU's audience is like one of the most popular things still to this day. People, it's like one of our best performing things, and it's really insightful. So
yeah,
kudos.
It was when I first...
Congratulations, Women's Day.
Yeah. Thank you, Wilhelmina. No, it was, I wanted to do it because I really liked debating and talking to people. Because when I was in college, I wouldn't go to class. I skipped all my classes. And I would set up a table on campus and I would debate kids on all sorts of different issues. I would set up a table and then I would just have pamphlets or whatever about whatever I was talking about. And I would just say, hey, do you have a second? And just like debate some random kid on socialism for no reason. With like Turning Point and student groups I was with, I just destroy the libs like every single day on campus for no reason. And so then I just was like, okay, I'll do this on video. And then as I've been doing the videos more, I'm like, okay, well, actually there's a better way to talk to people to change their mind than just like, you know, aggressively debating them like that. So I could do that, but I don't want to. I want to like have good conversations with people.
You should write down everything that you learned about like talking to people and changing their minds. And
maybe about influencing enemies.
Yeah.
You know?
And how to win friends. And
You got to learn how to win friends and influence enemies.
Yeah. So
thanks, Taylor.
It's a book idea.
It's a book idea. You know, maybe
all Will's good ideas come from me. So,
you know, maybe if it was lucky, you guys could order it on Amazon in the future, you know. Really good. It's on sale right now. You could get it.
You could make the poster something like that thing behind you.
Yeah, I could. Or can people see that?
It's partially in the shot.
Yeah, working on it.
Anyways.
That was a funny video. That was a good video. All right, let's pull up the new trend, dressing like a lesbian. Taylor, you know a lot about this.
Wait, which one? This is TikTok?
I guess we should go to the TikTok. Okay, go to the TikTok thing. Go to the...
Things don't run as smoothly when Amala's not here, guys. It's okay, though.
Listen, women are better at running technology.
Yeah. Evidently.
Yeah. Do the one about the White House briefs TikTokers.
Okay. Yeah.
We're on TikTok Tuesday now. We're shifting gears.
Yeah. Happy TikTok Tuesday, everyone. Here we go.
We're doing a great job.
Smooth transition into this is our TikTok Tuesday segment that we do every Tuesday where we look at TikToks. So here's a TikTok of...
on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday, no less, of this girl who was given some talking points to explain to people why gas prices are getting so high. So here we go.
Why is gas so expensive, and why is the United States inflation rate at a four-time decade high? I had the opportunity to ask the White House why gas down the street is $7, and here's what they said. The obvious reason, we are getting out of a two-year pandemic. When use goes up, price goes up. But the call was predominantly about Ukraine and Russia, so how does that relate? Russia is one of the top three producers of oil, and it is actually their number one revenue source. Now, with Putin starting this horrific fight between Ukraine and Russia, nobody wants to work with him and do an international trade. So, with people being scared of war and limited resources, prices are bound to go up as well. For the people who can't pay $7 for a gallon of gas, there's an app called Gas Buddy that shows you the cheapest gas near you, as well as a link in my bio to donate to the misplaced refugees of Ukraine.
Okay.
And if you use my code Dying Ukrainian, you get 10% off this new yoga pants that I'm working on. Jeez, incredible. That's really incredible.
Yeah, in case the high gas prices aren't enough, you should donate to Ukrainians also. Here's a website.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, you know, so the story is that these people were brought to the White House to be given they're partnering with TikTok influencers to explain to America what's going on and why their gas prices are so high. But they're leaving out crucial details about, you know, not approving oil leases and clamping down on domestic production and not being energy independent or anything like that. And just saying, well, don't worry, guys, there's an app on your phone that you can get called Gas Buddy, and it'll help you find the cheapest gas in your area. Mm-hmm. So you can pay $6.01 a gallon instead of $6.07.
Putin, it's literally Hitler. Okay,
yeah,
that's the level of influence that these people have. They're dancers on TikTok, and it's not even real dancing. The dancing is subpar, and they dance and are spreading lies for the left.
They should have watched you dancing on that TikTok you did a while back.
I know, I killed it. I'm a very good dancer. If you guys didn't know, a little waltz, little jerk, whatever it takes. No, but one of the things that's very important that people are missing is that the White House is coming out and talking about, all these oil permits, all these oil companies, they have oil permits, right? They want to go and drill. They can go drill whenever they want. First it was oil companies. They're donating to PragerU and they're fracking billionaires and they're evil and all they want is money. Now, oil companies aren't drilling oil because they don't want money for some reason. How stupid do you think we are? How quickly can your narrative change? And I think we're so stupid that you say, oh, they're so greedy, evil oil companies. And then you're like, oh, no, now they don't want any money and they're not going to drill. The reason why oil companies aren't drilling is because the permits that they have been given are in places where there is no oil. And the permits that they have applied for in places where there is actual oil are not being applied. That is the reason, but they won't tell you that. They're not going to tell you that.
Because we need to save the environment. That's what it's all about, guys. But meanwhile, she must have just not had enough time to get to the part about how we're going to Venezuela and Saudi Arabia on our knees and begging them to pump more oil. So it's okay if they mess up the environment and then we buy that oil, but it's not okay if we do it domestically. So, and then that's also like, they're trying to like funnel the oil from Russia that Saudi Arabia would buy and we'd buy through them or something. It's like they're leaving out all these crucial details and it's just no, guys. Just download the Gas Buddy app, donate to Ukrainians, and blame Putin. And that's all you need to worry about.
And this is like if you're a younger person watching this right now and you're in college and you hear these people giving these types of arguments. I mean, really, is it even worth the time of day to discuss some of this stuff with people when it comes to this? Because it's just...
But if you don't know any better...
Right. But when you're leaving out the crucial details of the whole entire situation and not actually having the right even definitions off the jump talking about these kind of things, you're going to be really lost talking about it.
But, I mean, in one sense, it's a brilliant move to do this because...
Of course.
Yeah. People scrolling through TikTok don't have any idea what, you know, about, they're probably not paying attention to geopolitics and, no. and all the nuanced information that is the
all
truth.
They know is to put the Ukraine flag in their bio.
Yeah.
That's all they know what to do.
And they see this and they're like, thing. Okay, now I can download GasBuddy and then donate to this thing. And then I'm being a good person and right. I'm helping democracy.
Yeah. That's something important. I didn't think about that.
That's effective that's like, propaganda. That's why yeah. this is great. This is textbook amazing propaganda. So you got to hand it to them.
Right. And especially putting like a cute girl in it for people is like, you know, this, that's exactly how you do it. But it's important that you said, you know, that you feel
that's how they
good
get you.
It. That's how they get me. But, you know, that's why you're on this show.
Yeah.
So I can look know. At you and, you know, feel morally superior. To people. Okay. But I'm saying that's important that you said the morally superior part because it's that's what it makes people feel.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, okay, now they can donate to something or at least be aware that there is a link to donate to something and maybe put it in their bio. Most of these people, they're never going to donate. But they'll put the link in their bio to show like, oh, anyone who goes to my bio to look at my bikini pics can now donate to Ukrainian refugees and it makes them feel good about themselves. But you've done nothing. You've
right.
done
and now
absolutely
I'm
in- nothing. And now you're literally, you're a shill. You're a shill for the lying White House. That's what you are. You want to call me a shill for Putin. All you do is a shill for these people who brought you to the White House to lie for them.
Right. And
who testified under oath.
But now I'm an activist and a content creator, not just some person who follows whatever talking points are fed to me and posts them on social media.
Right.
And shakes my butt.
Mm-hmm. No, now you're a big deal. Now
I'm an activist. I'm fighting right. the good fight.
No, you could be president one day. A little TikTok dancer. You could do it. Okay, enough of that. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the one with the mom.
The mom.
Yeah, the mom. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Okay, okay here we go. This is one.
That men oh, can we'll have
let me
big,
start from the beginning. Here we go.
Some people are about to question my ability to parent my toddler after what I'm about to say. So there was this trend on TikTok where men were showing off their male chests. I showed this video to my toddler on purpose. I explained to her that these are men. That men can have big boobies too.
Jeez.
That the size of our chest does not determine gender. I was also explaining it that these parts aren't to be sexualized. And that my child can absolutely see the chest of any person with their consent. But you know, the pearl clutchers will absolutely think I'm ruining my child with porn.
Hand me some pearls. I'm going to clutch them right now.
I'm going to clutch every pearl. And I'm going to open up an oyster and clutch the inside of that oyster. I can't believe that. Saying, what did she say about boobies? What did she say?
That I don't know. My child should be able to look at any bare chest. And, you know, just because you have boobs doesn't mean that you're not a...
She said she's going to let her kid look at any boobies she wants.
I guess, yeah. Any to of any consenting
sicko.
Adult. Yeah, it's grooming. It's literally grooming.
It's a child. You want to let
a
your
toddler.
Child look at any boobs that they want? Why would you do that? I mean, even if it like wasn't about the trans stuff, why you shouldn't want to do that to your kid anyway, you know? Like even if it's straight, like even if it's like my mom is like anti-trans, she still wouldn't be like, go look at women's boobs when you're a boy. That's still so weird. It's just very weird.
This whole, like, let's sexualize children. Let's tell them, you know, let's have them change their gender or choose their gender when they're a toddler. Let's put a closet. We watched a TikTok like 2 weeks ago on TikTok Tuesday about a teacher who had a closet in their classroom, transition closet, where kids could come in and wearing the clothes that their parents approve of and then change into the clothes in the classroom. So getting naked or in their underwear in the teacher's classroom under their supervision in a little closet and changing into whatever clothes that affirm their gender or whatever. It's like, what? There's this concerted campaign to go after children and confuse them about their sexuality. And it's just what's so disturbing to where, and it's so pervasive that this is a parent boasting about indoctrinating her child with this gender ideology.
I know. It's like parents boasting about perversion. What, you shouldn't feel proud. I mean, and the fact that you're going on TikTok and putting it out there for people, like you would think that you would feel a little bit embarrassed, you know,
yeah.
A conservative. It's very hard to imagine like a conservative person going on TikTok and saying, I've been showing, you know, my kids all this kind of conservative stuff and I'm so proud of it. Like you won't find conservatives really doing that.
Maybe you should start a page. We should start a page. It's like, I just did this Bible lesson with my 3-year-old.
That'd be awesome. Right? But like, these people are so narcissistic. They just film themselves like talking about showing their kids boobs.
It's intentionally provocative.
Sicko. Yeah, no, it is for sure. But it just shows how narcissistic they are. The world's supposed to revolve all around them, and it's all everything that they want, and it's fine to show your kids this. And
They're trying to trick the conservative podcasters into like covering it on their shows and amplifying their voices and talking about them.
If I was a leftist, I'd be doing the exact same thing. I'd say just some salacious nonsense just to get on like on the Ben Shapiro show or something.
But I liked Christopher Rufo's point the other day that it's like he does go for the salacious examples. You don't have to make them up. And you don't have, it's, even if it is propaganda, like the example, this is a real thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And he finds the craziest examples he can find of the madness going on in schools, like what we just talked about, because this is the logical progression of this ideology. This is where it ends up, and they're bold about it, and they're not apologizing for it, and they're at war with the traditional values and the order of things as it's always been known. They call it the patriarchy. They want to dismantle that. They want to dismantle gender, and they want to usher in this new genderless revolution where people just choose what they want to be, and they're not sleeping and sitting on their hands. And so, you know, to your point earlier, that we shouldn't either.
No. I mean, it's not hard to find egregious examples.
No.
And the fact that we can do TikTok Tuesday every week and still find examples of new people shows that this isn't just some fringe thing. And these are the ones that we find. Who knows what else is out there? And who knows what else is the people who aren't posting this online but are showing their kids male private parts to show that it's not sexual and it's because of the new trans movement and all this kind of stuff, things that we never hear about. There's so much. If this is, it's like the tip of the iceberg fallacy, you know, where it's you see this much, but really this much is actually happening. And that's what should worry everyone because you see all these egregious examples, but you have no idea what else is actually happening. And that's a really scary thought.
Mm-hmm.
Scott,
what's up?
Would you like to say anything for your birthday to sign off?
To sign off?
Yeah.
Well, thank you two and everyone else in the comments for the birthday wishes. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. I've loved my time on this earth, and I hope they continue going. Yours continue to roll.
More spins around the sun. Yeah. Thank you for blessing us with your hotness and Scottness.
Thank you, Scott. Well, I think that's going to wrap up today's show, guys. We did TikTok Tuesday. We talked a lot about the Ukraine stuff, talked about conservatives being strong, and a lot of other things. So thank you so much for watching. You guys, make sure you go to podcast app, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. You rate us 5 stars. You download our podcast. We're having massive record-breaking downloads on our podcast. It's amazing. And make sure you go into the YouTube channel of Will and Amal Alive, not just the Prager YouTube channel, the Prager U YouTube channel. That's our tongue twister. And subscribing to that as well and turning post notifications on so you understand when we are going live. Guys, I appreciate all the support. Tuning in today, even without Amala. Taylor did a fine job taking her spot today. And really happy you guys watch.
Somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it. I love that line. All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.
Peace.